President Biden signed an executive order today. The directive calls for the exploration of creating a digital form of the US dollar.
Governments around the world are all exploring a new kind of money that puts financial privacy, financial freedom, and security in grave danger. It's called a CBDC.
CBDC stands for Central Bank Digital Currency. And the idea is to basically have the central bank at the center of digital transactions.
Marta Belcher is president of the Filecoin Foundation and a staunch privacy advocate. And she chatted with me about why we should be very concerned about the implementation of any CBDC.
You're basically giving the government access to all financial transactions.
In this video, we're going to talk about three main things. First, how CBDCs work and are different from the digital money we currently use. Then we'll explore why CBDCs are dangerous for a free society. And finally, we'll dive into what you can do to protect these things in your life as we usher in this new era of digital finance.
This is not theoretical. This is very seriously being considered in many countries across the world.
So hang on tight, because things are about to get really crazy. Let's start with how CBDCs are a fundamental shift away from the digital money we already use.
Technology now enables the development and issuance of the new type of central bank liability issued in digital form.
Most money already is digital.
When we use a bank card, gift card, payment app, anything other than handing over physical cash, we're dealing with digital money.
Just numbers on a screen. Right?
When we send money to someone, a person isn't rushing from my bank to your bank to transfer the physical cash. Instead, banks use digital ledgers to record how much money should be in each account.
My bank has a ledger, and that ledger says how much money is in my account. And if I want to send money to someone else, what's going to happen is I'm going to go to my bank. My bank is going to update its ledger and say, okay, you have $10 less. They are going to talk to the other person's bank using literally 1960s automated clearinghouse technology. That other person's bank is going to then update their ledger. And they're going to say, okay, now this person that she sent the money to has $10 more, right? So basically, two different ledgers are going to have been updated.
Behind the scenes, these financial transactions involve several steps, settling payments over a patchwork of systems. The US financial system is still pretty old school when it comes to moving money around.
And that's not a great way to run a modern global economy.
It can actually take days, sometimes longer, for these payments to clear and for everyone to make sure their ledgers are balanced against each other. It's a hugely inefficient system. When Bitcoin came along, it revolutionized this ledger system. Cryptocurrency basically said,
instead of having a ledger over at this bank and a ledger over at that bank and having a bunch of different people update a bunch of different ledgers, why don't we have one ledger that everyone can see, that is decentralized, and that is maintained by many, many different people and many different computers?
But when you have all these different people maintaining this ledger, there's a question of trust. What if people have conflicting records? Who do you trust? It's actually an old computer science problem, and Bitcoin provided the first ever solution to this problem. It removed the need to trust any individual actor by making all actions transparent and verifiable by the network as a whole. It's a complicated way of saying that Bitcoin eliminated the need to trust any central party to control a ledger. We can now have a completely decentralized ledger that is verifiable.
One single ledger that no one can change. It's immutable, and that is a blockchain.
The Bitcoin ledger is updated automatically every 10 minutes. No expensive clearinghouse needed. So how does this improve digital money? Well, you no longer have to give a bank custody of your money in order to make a digital payment. Your money is accessible 24/7. You control it completely. You don't have to let a third party know about every purchase and donation that you make. No one can freeze your funds or take them out of your account. Only the person who controls the private key has access to your money. And your balance isn't hiding behind an opaque ledger or disguised behind a fractional reserve scheme where your money might not be there at all. You can see exactly how much money you have access to.
That's the improvement that cryptocurrency made. Now, if you fast forward and think about, well, what is a central bank digital currency? It's exactly the opposite of cryptocurrency in many ways. So it uses this digital ledger technology, But instead of having it be decentralized, it actually uses that same technology to make it fully centralized.
Introducing central bank digital currencies. It's just like Bitcoin, but without all the freedom, revolution, and financial gain.
CBDCs are really concerning for many reasons, and we're going to dive into three of them, starting with privacy.
Putting the government at the center of every transaction. That's a major shift.
A major shift, even from the current financial surveillance we already have in place.
We've had for decades an increasing amount of financial surveillance in the traditional banking system.
From the Bank Secrecy Act to the Patriot Act, the government has been tightening their stronghold on financial data, and over the last decade have been really ramping up surveillance. Many argue that it's unconstitutional.
Banks and other financial institutions, they know the identity of everyone who's transacting using their services. They are collecting that information and often turning it over to the government by default without a warrant. We've somehow normalized this idea of financial surveillance and the amount of our financial transactions that are getting turned over to the government and governments around the world. Unfortunately, with the CBDC, it is a big deal, even on the backdrop of that amount of financial surveillance.
Because instead of having financial institutions and private companies collect information and the government getting it from them,
you're just putting the government directly in the middle of all of these transactions, which is a totally different thing. It's just taking this financial surveillance that already exists in the traditional banking system and just turning it up to a whole new level.
The Fourth Amendment is supposed to protect our right to privacy against overreach and invasion by the government. A CBDC blatantly contradicts this, transferring all of our financial data to the government automatically.
The government under the Fourth Amendment is not supposed to be able to get information about you without having a warrant.
When they are issued, warrants are supposed to be specific, laying out what the police are searching for and where they expect to find it. This means that if the warrant says the police can search your garage for a stolen car, they can't look in your kitchen drawers and cupboards.
That is worlds away from the financial surveillance that happens now, which is that you have massive amounts of information being turned over from financial institutions to the government. And now you're going even farther to say, forget about getting this information from financial institutions. Let's just give it straight to the government. Let's just have the government have that information about all of our financial transactions.
So why is this a big deal?
For a lot of Americans, it's been really hard to understand why we would want financial privacy.
The average person usually thinks,
I'm not doing anything wrong. Why should I care about the government having access to all of my financial records?
But financial privacy is incredibly important for preserving civil liberties.
Your financial transactions provide a really deep window into your life. I mean, they reveal what medical treatments you're getting, what you believe in politically, what organizations you're part of, who you're donating to, what you're reading, what your religious affiliations are, what your sexuality is, who you're interacting with. When you look at oppressive governments around the world, having a window into people's financial transactions is incredibly powerful. I often think about this picture that I saw from the Hong Kong pro-democracy protests, where there are these really long lines at the subway stations of protesters. They wanted to use cash to purchase their subway tickets because they didn't want their electronic purchase of subway tickets to put them at the scene of the protest, which I think really underscores why it's so important that you have the ability to transact privately. People really need to be able to use money privately in order to survive.
This isn't just true in authoritarian countries, but also places that you would consider more free. Your data is forever.
And maybe you're not doing anything illegal today, but laws can change over time and have changed. And civil liberties that you have today might not be civil liberties that you have tomorrow.
Putting the government at the center of all our transactions isn't just bad for privacy. It also poses the grave threat of increased financial censorship and control. Cash and our current digital money is dumb money. But CBDCs are what's known as programmable money. It's smart money that you can basically program like software to do certain things. This money can be erased, automatically spent without your consent. You could even set an expiry date on savings. Let's say the government wants to stimulate the economy. With a CBDC, they could program into someone's savings that
if they don't spend it by X time, it disappears.
And if you do buy or do the wrong thing, They can easily cut off your money.
They want to impose ideology through the economy.
It used to be that because there were technological limitations, those technological limitations provided a measure of privacy for Americans. Now, with essentially no technological limitations, the technology can do practically anything.
Financial censorship isn't new, but CBDCs would make it way easier.
Things that are completely legal are being cut off from financial services already. People getting cut off, not because they're doing anything illegal, but just because bank executives don't agree with what they're doing. So things like adult websites, adult bookstores, adult social networks. We often see banks that just decide they're not going to serve entire industries. In cryptocurrency, we're seeing it right now, where a lot of people who, just by virtue of being involved in cryptocurrency technology, are having their personal accounts shut down, having their business accounts shut down. It's just impossible to operate without access to financial services.
Currently, when a bank shuts down someone's account, they can at least try to be banked by someone else.
You have, in theory, options, but what you're talking about here is having it all completely centralized, where you really have no other option. Giving the government the ability to block financial transactions of any group they want, whether it's their political opponents, right, or dissidents, is just a really bad idea, and gives them power far beyond what they already have.
The best thing about CBDCs is they take all the worst attributes of the current monetary system and amplify them.
Finally, there's the issue of centralizing all financial records in a single database.
You're creating this honeypot of information. We've already seen many instances of the government doing a very bad job of keeping custody of information and having that data leaked.
If one single entity is now keeping a record of every single digital transaction ever made, you can expect that database to eventually be leaked. Despite all these dangers of CBDCs, there's something that governments around the world are unanimously salivating over.
The People's Bank of China has been running tests of its digital currencies since April 2020.
China was really one of the earliest countries to be looking seriously at launching a central bank digital currency. Why was China one of the first to be interested in this? Because the government has full visibility into all of the financial transactions of its citizens. It's sort of the dream of any authoritarian government.
Cash is one way that people can still opt out of these systems, but even that is getting harder.
They will tell you, you're still going to be able to transact using cash. What we've already seen with central bank digital currencies around the world is actually that that's not true. Nigeria rolled out a central bank digital currency, and then it began restricting cash withdrawals. And also they coincidentally decided to do a whole redesign of their currency. And so the banks also just happened to not have any cash, even if people wanted to pull it out up to that amount. They did that because they wanted people to use their central bank digital currency so the government could be at the center of all of these transactions.
And basically every government seems interested in also getting in on this action.
105 countries have begun thinking about exploring CBDCs. In the UK, there's talks over the UK digital pound. India already launched two CBDC pilots late last year. In the United States, Biden's executive order did say that the US should investigate a CBDC.
And so we've seen a huge uptick in media outlets and politicians trying to sell us on the supposedly good qualities of a CBDC.
A central bank digital currency could provide faster payment options between countries and safe digital payment options for households and businesses.
The media make it sound like it's a great thing.
The reality is that a CBDC will mean unprecedented control over people's financial choices and access to their financial data. And unfortunately, this is coming whether we like it or not. But what can we do, especially as cash continues to be phased out?
We're moving towards more of a cashless society, right? And I think that is very bad. It's very important that you still have the option of transacting in a way that is private.
Cash is one of these private options, but
so is cryptocurrency. It lets people buy things without government money.
The thing that is so important about cryptocurrency is that it enables you to have the same protections as cash, but still make transactions digitally. It takes the privacy benefits and the resistance to surveillance and the resistance to censorship and imports it into the online world.
We have videos that talk about some of the most private cryptocurrencies and also have tutorials on how to use it in your everyday life, interviewing people who actually live entirely off crypto and never use the traditional banking and financial systems at all.
This is really a moment to take a look at cryptocurrencies and other technologies that enable truly private transactions online in a post-CBDC world. These technologies like cryptocurrency, privacy coins, are more important than ever. And it's a great moment to become familiar with them.
And the other thing we can do is fight for a cultural shift where we push back against this surveillance that has become so normalized.
We can actually fight for freedom from financial surveillance. And challenge the surveillance that's been happening in the traditional banking system for decades.
We can also voice our disapproval of a CBDC.
It's the moment for us to really be concerned and really be speaking out against putting the government at the center of all of our financial transactions. As we see governments exploring this technology and pilot the technology, it's early enough that speaking out against it could really make a big difference.
NBTV is funded by community donations. If you'd like to support our free educational content, please visit nbtv.media/support. We also have a book, Beginner's Introduction to Privacy, that also supports our channel. Also, liking, sharing, and commenting on our videos also really helps. Thanks so much for watching through till the end.
Central Bank Digital Currencies, a breath of fresh despair.